Her Silent Husband by Sam Vickery and read by Tamsin Kennard for Saga Egmont. For my dad, for whom storytelling is as vital as breathing, and for the conger eel. Prologue.
I'd expected something different, something far different from this. Today I turned 41 years old, and the things I'd hoped I would know by now have yet to materialise. I thought I'd understand my purpose, that I'd feel calmer, more stable, that the hurts of my past would no longer visit me at night, and I'd have figured out the secret to being happy, whole, a complete person, as opposed to these fragmented shards I continue to cling to, certain that any moment they might scatter to the ground for all to see. But what I've learned in my 41 years is this. I know that life isn't always fair, that pain gets dished out to hard-working, kind-hearted people, while others, who are far less deserving, leapfrog the hurdles with ease. I know that life is not an adventure. It's a treadmill, and every year I find myself gripping tighter to the handrails for fear of being flung off. I know that if I don't make the effort to tell my wife how my day was, she can go 16 days without thinking to ask, and even then, I'm not sure she listens to the answer. I know that my children don't hear when I speak, or at least not unless I raise my voice, give it an edge of impatience that makes me feel ill at ease, an imposter pretending to be someone I'm not. They don't notice me. I know that. By this point, I've faded away to the extent that I'm not sure there's much left to see. I know that no matter how much I do, it's never enough, never an end, just a new beginning on the impossible path of life. And I'm failing at it, as a husband, a father, a brother, despite trying my hardest to pretend I'm not. And what I know most of all, what I've tried to hide for so long now, is the simple fact that I'm not strong enough to keep going. I hate that it's come to this, that I can't be a better man, a stronger man. I hope they won't hate me, that they'll find a way to understand, to finally see me and know why I had no choice but to leave them. But right now, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't even notice I'd gone.
Chapter 1. Beth. Day 1. The house phone was ringing, the trilling sound sending waves of irritation through me as I piled through the front door, laden with overflowing shopping bags, watching Amelie and Cecilia run into the kitchen without bothering to take off their school shoes, and Rufus drop his satchel on the floor. I had given each child their own hook, lined up on the hallway wall, when they'd begun nursery. A one-level cubed storage rack with a cubby for each of them, intended for their shoes on the floor below. In my naivety, I'd hoped they would develop the habit of using them for coats and bags without my needing to remind them. But the reality was far from the picture-perfect row of neat, child-sized Macs I'd envisaged whilst picking out individually designed name plaques. I sighed as Rufus disappeared into the living room. Tristan tossed his muddy rugby boots on the oak floor of the hall, scattering chunks of dirt everywhere. "Tris, for goodness sake, the cleaners left less than 2 hours ago. Clear that mess up," I snapped. "But first answer the phone, will you? I shouldn't have to ask. You're old enough to know when to help," I reminded him, kicking the front door shut and lowering the heavy bags to a clean spot of floor, my shoulders throbbing. My 15-year-old son, already halfway up the stairs, glared over his shoulder as the ringing cut out.
"Sorry,"
he said, his deep voice flippant. He didn't wait for me to reply as he turned and jogged up the rest of the way. A moment later, I heard the slam of his door, followed by the thunderous blare of his music. I rubbed my fingers into my aching temples, counting to 10 under my breath. Then picked up the bags and stepped over the mud, trying not to let it.